The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Hey, welcome back to the Brightside and issue number 77. Today, John and I talk about Star Trek Picard on CBS All Access, which we've mentioned a few times is now free. So if you haven't watched the show, pause, go watch all the episodes, and you can come back and listen to issue number 77. Because we just talk spoilers throughout. There's a pretty big spoiler in this show, so we wouldn't want to ruin it for you. But I had a really good time talking to John about this. This is a real comic book store conversation coming up here because we go on a few tangents, talk about other shows. We just had such a good time hanging out talking about Picard. It really, really is a good show. Can't recommend it enough. Picard, that is. You can be the judge on whether issue 77 is a good show. So let's head into the store and talk some Picard. Hey, John. How you been, buddy?
I've been pretty good, man. How are you?
Long time.
Yeah, it has been.
Oh, seriously, though. A little peek behind the curtain. We got to spread these out.
Yeah. It's like,
oh, man. Anything new?
No. Not really.
All right. So, we have no books that we mentioned last week to talk about. We have
no
real big news to talk about. Maybe by the time this airs, there will have been something. So maybe I'll, you know, who knows?
It in post.
Yeah, we'll drop it in post. Do you want to just get into Picard? CBS All Access Picard?
Which you can get for free right now. So you should have done that.
If you haven't done that, sorry.
Pause.
Pause.
I'll wait.
Yeah, we'll wait. And then, hey, we're back.
All right.
Yeah.
Now you're back.
Now you're back. Thank you for joining us. Let's talk Picard.
All right.
Have you ever been a stranger to yourself?
Many, many times. Nearly two decades ago, Commander Data sacrificed his life for me. These past few years, I really tried to belong here. But it never truly felt like home.
Do you know who I am? Everything inside of me says that I'm safe with you.
Admiral, I have encountered a woman. She came to me for help. If she is who I think she is, she's in serious danger.
She's the end of all. She's the destroyer.
The hell are you doing out here, Picard? Saving the galaxy?
Engage. I don't want the game to end.
I can see that, Captain.
All right, as I've said in previous podcasts when we talked Picard, this is your baby, but I'm so glad we did this. I did this show. I've never really watched any Star Trek, and you and I have talked on air, off air since then. You've recommended episodes. I've watched the episodes. I've taken more Star Trek in the last, how many weeks has it been? 10 weeks?
Well, it's 10 weeks, yeah, because Picard was 10 episodes.
and really, really impressed. I wish I had the time. Right now, we're doing our Star Wars thing. Sorry, that's the competition. But I really want to get into, and I'm hoping I have a lot of time even in the future, you know, just going forward, I'm definitely going to be watching way more Star Trek than I ever did in my life. And this show, it's kind of a unique way, I think, for somebody to come into it, because you're getting a huge backstory here.
It is. It started out being pretty new user friendly, and I think it probably was all the way through.
Yeah.
But it definitely built on past history that you benefited a lot from if you were a fan previously, or if you did your homework like you did.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. And what was cool is, like, at the very beginning, look, I'm not an idiot. I know who Picard is.
Well,
you know?
Right.
And
right.
And you also knew, you know, Patrick Stewart and the gravitas that actor carries. You know,
yes.
You just the respect. You're just, I was in awe of him anyways on screen. And I think that really played into help me enjoy the show I don't want to say the same respect you did, but it did feel kind of that way to me. Now,
right.
I know I missed out on a ton of stuff that maybe you can elaborate on, but I know one, for instance, that I didn't know until the second to last episode, watching The Ready Room.
Okay.
So in true Brightside fashion, we'll jump all around. But when they were talking to Issa Briones?
Issa Briones. Yeah.
Briones.
Yeah.
When they were talking to her, and how she had to play all the multiple characters that she played, which
right.
I thought was great. It was a great introduction. I loved how she, her first, what was the name of her first character?
Dodge.
Dodge, right.
Yeah.
Her first character. Great opening to the entire series, lots of action. And then obviously as you go on, you find out she's a synth.
Right.
Is that the right term?
Synth,
yeah,
yes.
Synth. What I was alluding to before is that one scene, I guess, did you get that when she did the head tilt?
Yes.
Did you get that scene when she did it?
Yes.
No idea.
Right. So, you know, I guess full disclosure, you know, when you started watching this show and we were like 4 weeks in or so when I started to realize like how big of a part of the story the Borg were going to be. And I sent you a bunch of episodes
yep.
to watch. Basically all the Borg stuff. You know, the stuff where, obviously we first meet the Borg in that episode, and then there was two episodes where Picard was assimilated and became Locutus, and then Hugh.
Yeah.
Because those characters played large in this show, and I thought, you know, having that backstory would be good. But no amount of homework was going to give you the true relationships of all the characters and all the little idiosyncrasies and things like that.
Right.
So that head tilt, I mean, you wouldn't pick up on that unless you had watched like the whole series, you know?
Right.
So yes, I did. Obviously I picked up on it right away, but, like there was no amount of preparation I could give you to help you get all that stuff.
No. And that's what I thought was cool about the Ready Room.
That, yes.
And another item to pick on my ignorance. I just thought that was a cool name for that episode, that show, that I didn't know the Ready Room was a real thing in Star Trek.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's how ignorant I am to the entire thing. And I use that term all the time. I don't think ignorance is bad. It's
right.
Just means you don't know. That's fine. But I'm learning. I'm learning,
yes.
And it was. I think it was like halfway through the season when I was like, "Oh, the Ready Room.
Yeah.
That's actually a place on the ship, isn't it?
It was. Like yes, it was a place on the ship.
Yeah.
Now that wasn't something that I ever remember from the original series. I think that was
Ready
kind
room?
Of a next. Yeah, I think that
yeah.
was a next generation invention. But then it went forward throughout the other series
right.
afterwards. But that wasn't something that came from the original show. But yeah, that's definitely it was. It was Picard's office, basically. It was
oh,
right
that,
off the bridge. Yeah, it was kind of
okay.
right off the bridge. So when he wanted to talk to his officers, like
privately,
it'd be like my ready room, and they all walked into the ready
oh,
room.
Oh, okay.
They did their thing. So it was
oh,
kind
okay.
of his office, basically.
Yeah. Like I said, it's like I felt like an idiot not knowing that. The little head tilt thing didn't bother me, but I know watching, I don't know which I had more fun doing, the show, watching the show or the Ready Room, because yeah. I think I was going to ask you that, like, which one did you feel the same way, or is it,
well,
like, did you get most of the Ready Room watching the show?
Well, that was the thing. I enjoyed watching the Ready Room because I liked the interviews with the actors, but I didn't come to it looking for clarity. Like, I think you did. You know, looking
for answers.
Yeah.
I didn't go into it looking for answers, and that's
they
how
just
much.
Came to you.
Yeah, like, yeah. It's really one of those things, and I'm not making fun of myself or anything, but you don't know what you don't know.
Right. Right.
So, like, again, getting to the head tilt, I have no idea about that. But then you watch the Ready Room. It's not like I watch the Ready Room going, I need that explained to me. It's not until after the fact that you go, oh, man, I needed that explained to me.
Well, right. But after you watched, say, the first two Ready Rooms, you knew you were going to get stuff every week when
right.
you watch that.
Right.
So, where I didn't necessarily go into that, I liked the backstage stories from the actors and
yes.
things like that. And again, for me, and this is going to sound corny, but it was like visiting friends again. Like, I just liked visiting with those people.
Yeah.
And I liked seeing those. I liked seeing the friends visiting with each other,
yes.
you know? So I enjoyed that aspect of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's like I wanted to say, like, I don't know which episode. It could have been many of the Ready Room episodes. I had a huge smile on my face, and I was
yeah.
nodding because they were having such a good time. And Will Wheaton
right.
is like, he's so happy and so giddy at times.
Yeah.
You know, bordering on corny, but you don't mind because I think it's genuine. I don't think
yeah.
he's joking. I don't think he's acting his way through that role.
No, I don't think so either. He's legit. Now, and not to make it a downer necessarily, but if you follow Will Wheaton on social media at all, because I do, he has very poor relationship with his real family. Like,
oh, really?
Did not come from a good home, did not have good relationship with his parents, and he's made it known multiple times that, you know, his parents or his surrogate parents were Patrick and Jonathan Frakes, you know, growing up
yeah.
on that show. And so that really comes through when you watch those episodes. Like, I enjoyed the episodes of the Ready Room that had the new people on it.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know those people, but I really enjoyed the ones. Like I said, same thing. Like, I was laughing and smiling when Brent Spiner and Frakes were there together doing their episode. And I even liked the fact that in the last Ready Room, they talked about how LeVar Burton and Patrick Dorn
yes.
came to set.
Yeah.
And they, you know, so I liked that stuff because, again, I like to imagine that they're all friends, and I liked seeing them getting together and doing
right.
those things. And then, you know, having those experiences, because there's a genuine affection between all of them for each other. And, you know, I enjoyed that. And like you said, I don't think Will Wheaton overplayed any of that. I mean, I think he's
no.
just he's a goofy, nerdy guy, and that's how he responds. And I think it was all genuine. So,
yeah. Yeah. Like, I mean, he opens every episode with, "Hi, nerds," you know,
yeah.
and it's like, I love that. And it's, like I said, it's so genuine. And did you notice in the last episode when Patrick Stewart was on, it was
right.
the one he wore a suit and tie, or
yes.
Actually a blazer and a tie.
Yeah.
He's all dressed up and you're like, oh, here we go.
Yeah.
And that episode, I was really like, I was almost as giddy. You're laughing
yeah.
because you could see the respect that Patrick Stewart gets and deserves,
right.
but they were hanging on every word.
But he also seems cool, you know what I mean? Like
yeah.
he has that respect because, you know, again, he's a knighted actor.
I was just gonna say he's Sir Patrick Stewart now.
And he's done a lot of things, more than just, you know, we know him for Xavier and Picard, but I mean, he's what's his name, Christmas Carol, Charles Ebenezer Scrooge. But I mean, he's done lots of things obviously in his career, and he has that respect. Every single person to a man called him out on their interview throughout the whole season of the Ready Room.
Oh yeah.
You know, and the respect that he has on set. But then he's just a guy. Like, he just was happy to joke and talk with you. Like, he seemed very down to earth and very You know, like one of the guys. But also, I had already heard this from him in the past, but, you know, him talking about what it took to get him back into the role.
Yeah.
You know, because he really wasn't interested in rehashing the same old thing.
The same old character. He wanted, like, a progression or something.
Right.
Actually, I don't even think he asked for that. He just, like, I have no interest in playing that character anymore.
And it right. It was the fact that he had to be sold.
Right. Yes. And it was funny how he thanked them for being so persistent.
Yes.
And, you know, a quick tangent. You know what I thought of when I heard him say that is, and he's good friends with him too, Hugh Jackman.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, that's all I could think. It's like, that would be like if Hugh Jackman's like, when he comes back and if he does Wolverine for a Deadpool right. or something, and he'll be like, thank you for being persistent. This was a lot of fun. I could right. see like that same type of thing, and that's what I was thinking when he was saying it.
But I could also see it taking somebody pitching him something radically different than what
yes.
he's already done, you know. Because like you said, he mentioned it, Patrick Stewart, back to him, he mentioned it in regards to Xavier, too.
Right.
You know, he said, I'm not interested in rehashing these characters. I'm done with Picard. I'm done with Xavier. So, you know, again, if we were ever to see him back as Charles Xavier again, it would take somebody pitching something crazy and being super persistent.
Yeah.
Because you get the idea that he turned this show down more than one time. You know, like,
oh, yeah.
It's not like he just said no once and then he caved, you know.
Well, and he's an executive producer, so you yes. know he demanded that. Because
right.
he wanted to have control over everything. I loved his comments on sitting in the writer's room.
Right.
And he's like, I sat in there for weeks, he says, and was like, didn't say anything. Yep. Just took it all in.
How intimidating is that the writers in that room, right?
I thought the
it's
same
like,
thing.
How many ideas didn't get pitched just because right. somebody didn't want to sound stupid in front of Patrick Stewart, you know?
Right. I know. It's like, I thought of this, exactly what you're saying, but I thought of this too, is when I first joined Mass Hockey years ago, I work with the board. And so you go to these meetings and there's like 50, 60 people there and they've all been around hockey forever. They have tons of hockey knowledge. And I used to, the first year, I'd sit in these meetings and I wouldn't say anything.
Right.
Because you're intimidated. I'm like, I just want to learn. Right.
Right.
Patrick Stewart's the exact opposite. I'm nobody. I'm in that room right. and people are like, who's the quiet guy in the corner? Now, they don't right. care about me. But Patrick Stewart shows up. That'd be like if Bobby Orr showed up at the Mass Hockey meetings and sat quietly right. in the corner and everybody'd be like, we're screwing up royally because he's not saying a word.
Right.
Like, I was just right. laughing.
It's like, does he hate everything we're saying? You
right.
know, it's like,
but then hearing Patrick Stewart say it, and I felt like his message was, he was acting like me. Like, he just wanted to be in the room and experience
right.
it and learn what they're doing and learn the process. But the writers don't know that's what he's thinking because
no.
he's being quiet.
Right.
It's very intimidating.
I thought it would be a riot. Too. Yeah.
Getting back.
So now we've talked all about the ready room.
I know.
We can talk about Picard.
Yeah, let me retype the title.
Yeah.
No, the show, I have one. I want to get to a bunch of your stuff, or if you have
okay.
a bunch of stuff, but I have one other thing that, so we did Logan a few weeks ago, right?
Yes.
And there's
mm-hmm.
a scene in Logan where they sit down at a dinner table and we talked
yes.
about it in our show about him and Hugh Jackman sitting there. But there's a scene, I think it's like episode 6 or something, when he has pizza and he's sitting down at Patrick Stewart. Is
yeah.
sitting at a table. I want to say, like, I watched those, like, rewatching Logan right around that time. And then I'm like, later, I'm like, is it in his contract that he has to sit down
to
have
sit down
dinner
and,
everything,
yeah.
every project he does? Because it was the same thing where he sat down and they had a good time at a dinner table. And it looked very much like that scene in Logan where him and what's the actor's name that was his second in command?
In Picard?
In, well,
yeah,
yeah,
it was
in,
John. Yeah. It was Jonathan Frakes and
yes.
Marina Sirtis.
Right.
Yeah, and it was kind of their reunion. They hadn't obviously seen each other in years. And
right.
Yeah, and it was the same thing. It was family dinner, and you know, it didn't. He didn't say it in this show like he did in Logan, but you can imagine him thinking, "Well, this is a path untraveled, you know?
Yeah.
Like, this is what a family and a life could have been like if I had made a different decision or, you know, you don't show any regret necessarily whether he's upset that he didn't do that, but I thought it was going through his mind at least.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't put those connections together, but they were very similar scenes.
Yeah. Yeah. And then when you find out later that he has the brain tumor.
Right.
So you start to go back through the season. They didn't allude to that earlier. Did I miss it?
Yeah, right away. No. Second episode, he had his doctor to his house.
Right. But I didn't know they told us it was like he was dying.
It was an anomaly. Yeah. Well, they did allude to it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I knew, I went through the whole season knowing that was there. So yeah, it came on when that doctor was at his house.
Okay.
He said, you know, something along the lines of, you know, your date was numbered.
No, I remember the doctor.
There's no cure for it. And,
oh, yeah. That's right.
He forced him to certify him to go into space. And he said something like, you want to go still knowing all of that? And he says, I want to know because I want to go because
of all that. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I remember that. I had forgotten.
But now I thought the resolution to that was very unexpected. You know, you get that.
What
I did, like, I didn't, I, it was unexpected until it was happening. Like, I put it together early in that episode, but I didn't know the whole season that that's what was going to happen. Because right. In my mind, I'm going through the season thinking, okay, he's got this brain tumor that's terminal, but practically, I know there's two more seasons coming. So,
right.
How are they going to deal with this? You're like,
right.
You can't go three seasons saying, "Well, I could die any minute because I have this brain tumor."
Right.
And we're spoilers, so it doesn't matter.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I didn't necessarily expect the android body. Like when Brent Spiner, I can't remember, Sung was working on the golem. Like,
yeah.
I didn't think that was going to be Picard.
I did.
But as soon as Picard died, I was like, oh, he's in the golem. You know what I mean? Like, I
right.
put it together quickly, but I didn't get it through the whole season that was going to happen.
Right.
You know, but I think it's so fitting that he spent this season fighting for the rights of the synthetic life forms to exist and then becomes one himself, you
right.
know?
And that's the arc that, and I'm wondering if because of, I had less passionate view of Picard. So I'm
right.
looking at this show as a more analytical, more analytically, you know,
right.
and I thought that as they showed at the beginning of the show, which I think is great if you've never watched the show, here's the arc. He starts out, you know who he is, he starts out on Earth and he wants to go back to space. I knew that, okay?
Right.
We're dealing with synths, but then they show you that he was a Borg.
Right.
Right? So he's one of the few people that did that, and that's when, right around there, I was like, okay, you're seeing that arc, and then halfway through the season, I'm like, okay, I had forgotten that he was going to die. So I'm
right.
following along in the season, but then the episode that he fainted, and they're like, uh-oh, he's dying. Okay,
right.
He's going to be, now, not only was he a Borg, but now he's going to be a synth as well.
See, I didn't get that. I just figured that I expected the synths on that planet to have the technology to cure him. Is really kind of what I thought
right.
was going to happen. It's like, you know, we've developed this technology to where we can replicate people.
Right.
I can fix you. And I just thought that that's what was going to happen. And I love that they put him into that body and they didn't do anything for him. They're like,
right.
You know,
he's like,
I could have used another 10 or
10,
20 years. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
they
We knew that you wouldn't want this, so we didn't give you anything.
We didn't give you any superpowers, they
right.
said, right? And
like,
but I thought it was funny because I felt like they know his life. They know, almost like because they're mapping it out.
Right.
They almost like know, like, his life expectancy.
Right.
And they gave, because they said they gave him that.
They
and
did, right.
Says,
they kind of calculated it.
Right.
Based on whatever, and gave him his expected number of years.
And he said, I could have used 10, and then was like, 20? Like,
yeah.
Maybe he is getting 10. He
well, maybe
know.
He is, yeah.
You
he
know?
Doesn't know.
But he was like...
And they didn't tell him.
I felt like by him saying 10, 20? Like, what is it? When is it? You know, but I thought that was, I mean, really cool how they did that. But the overall message of the show too, it's, I mean, one, it's our synth's real, which I thought was weird when he first woke up and is like, am I real?
Right. And well, there's a great episode. There's a great episode in the show for that too, in regards to Data. There's an episode of The Next Generation with Data and Bruce Maddox called The Measure of a Man, and it takes on that philosophy. Does a artificial being have rights? When do they become a person, basically? So that's a great episode to watch as well. Like, if you're not going to do them all in order, I'll just tell you the good ones to watch. But it brings up that same philosophical question, like, kind of he got to at the end of this, you know?
Right.
So am I still a person? Am I still Picard? Because in my mind, I think, I remember, I have all the experience that Picard has, but I'm in an artificial body now. So what am I? Like, am I classified as a human being or am I a machine?
And that's where, like, this show is it going in that direction in the next?
Don't know.
You know, yeah, in the next seasons? But you saw, like, the progression of this show, how he, like you said, he was, you know, sticking up for the synths, and now he is one. So he's a great ambassador for that.
Right.
I mean, I could talk all day about that. I mean, we could, because I'm, like, wrapping my head around that. Like, if that's even possible, like, taking your consciousness and putting it into another, is that still me? Like, are we just computer software that you can take and put there, and do I know that that's me? And the, I don't know.
Right, but that's the whole thing. Like, what makes you you? Is it your consciousness and your experiences, or is it just the physical body that you have, you know?
I hope it's the consciousness, because this physical body is banged.
Mine's breaking down quickly, so. But yeah, I mean, that's science fiction. Like, that's not a new idea for science fiction. People,
no.
Even in the real world, like, they talk about, like, cryo-freeze and things like that, and, well, that's more coming back as yourself, but... You know, taking your, basically taking your consciousness and putting it in a new body so you can live forever. That's in a million different science fiction stories.
Right.
But yeah, like, are you still, even Altered Carbon we're watching.
Right.
They go from sleeve to sleeve to sleeve. Is it still you every time? Or is you, like, your birth sleeve? Like, because now.
Sleeve.
I know. Well, that's what Altered Carbon.
I know, that's what
But the thing is, like, let's say I was Takashi or whatever in Altered Carbon, right? And he's been in all these different things. But when I think of myself and I look in the mirror, I'm the guy that I was, like, when I was born. You know what I mean? Like, that's how I will always envision myself, and that will always be the true me. So I don't know, you know?
Altered Carbon's a real weird twist, because you're not, like, at least Picard came back looking like Picard.
Exactly. In Altered Carbon, you're changing genders, you're changing races, you're changing everything. Like, you're coming back as whatever's available, you know. They just throw you in a loner, you know. It's like a Hertz rent-a-car, you know. You just whatever's in space, whatever's in space 8B, that's what I am today, you know.
But really, that's what Altered Carbon is. If you can afford it, you can upgrade. But
otherwise, you're in the Volkswagen or the Hyundai, you know.
Yeah, it's. So. I mean, and hey, this has gone on a real comic book store tangent. I love
it. Has. We're way on to other.
Yeah. No, but this is what you do, so I love it. But what I was going to say is Altered Carbon. It's imagine being cast for that, and it's like, if you act up, you're like, you know, we can write you out in 2 seconds.
Oh yeah,
we'll just kill you and put a sleeve on you.
Are you into season two yet?
No. Oh, do they do that?
Basically, season two is Anthony Mackie. So.
Oh okay.
Yeah. So yeah, next year it'll be some. It's like the Doctor Who thing. Like Doctor Who is great for that, because they have a mechanism built in that they can just recast that character anytime they want. And nothing changes. And that's kind of how Altered Carbon is. Season 3 might be a different actor altogether. Who knows? You know?
Yeah, that's such a great... I mean, just new sleeve. I mean, it's actor,
perfect.
Sorry.
I mean, that's a perfect way to write a show. Because you don't have to get bogged down by long-term contracts or, you know.
Yeah.
You just go year to year, you know.
You really have the actors, you know...
on edge. Yeah.
Like, hey.
You mess up at craft services, you're gone, buddy. I'll get somebody else next week. I don't even have to rewrite the show.
know. you know? Nobody would even think twice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy. Yeah, so back to Picard.
Yeah.
What are some of the other nuggets that you, like, you must have a ton of, like, fan service stuff that you just loved through this series?
Well, there was a lot, and not necessarily fan service stuff, but, like, the, I think my favorite episode was probably the one we were just talking about with Riker and Troi.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, just seeing those people together on screen again, seeing the, like, the real affection behind the scenes between the actors coming through on screen. Like,
right.
Again, just that scene where Riker and Picard are sitting on the bench on the dock and he puts his arm around him.
Yeah.
And, like, that's not something, like, that protocol would never have been in place on the Enterprise where he was the first officer and Picard was the captain. There
right.
would have never been an instance where they would have sat together and Riker would have put his arm around him, you know, as a friend, because that chain of command didn't, you know, I mean, it
right.
wasn't there.
It's not
appropriate. But now they're old, they've retired, they've moved on, they're out
right.
of the service, and, you know, you see that. So that episode I loved. I talked about it when we talked about it on our other show with episode one, where just the beginning of that show in 10 Forward, where he's playing poker with Data, and
yeah.
Knowing that that's how the series ended, with them playing poker and Picard coming to the table that he never went to during the series. Now, we've had movies in between, so some of that gets erased, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because the end of the show wasn't actually the last time we saw these characters, but I liked the way that this show picked up where that show left off. It didn't diminish the history in between because Data died in the movies, not in the show.
Right.
So it all kind of stayed in place, but that scene held a lot of weight for me. And then the end, like when Data died at the end, was very emotional for me, you know? So all those scenes, seeing Seven of Nine again, for me, it was the reunions more than anything. You know,
right.
the nugget, you know, the head tilt, the tilt was great, and some of those little nuggets were great. But for me, it was all the reunions of seeing these people coming back together. And actually, with Seven of Nine, it wasn't even a reunion because they had never been on a show together.
Right.
She was on a completely different show and different ship. But like I said, I liked seeing all of that. Even the relationship that he had with Elnor. Because if you know his character from The Next Generation, he was not a family man. He didn't like kids, didn't like children
right.
around. But yet he took to Elnor as a child
right.
after he retired. So those were all the little things that I enjoyed more than anything about the show. You know, it wasn't so much the little Easter eggs or anything like that. There were a couple.
Right.
I'm having a hard time really thinking of any off
yeah.
the top of my head. Other than the Data head tilt, like I said, that was pretty iconic for him. But yeah, that's what I enjoyed.
So getting back to that, the episode with the, what was his name? See, I don't know his second in command there.
Well, his character name is Riker, Will Riker.
Riker. Okay. Yeah. So getting back to that episode and that whole bench scene and everything. So if you hadn't recommended those episodes that you did about the Borg, that episode wouldn't have meant nearly as much to me, because there's an episode in there where he has an opportunity to get his own ship.
Yes.
And he doesn't. So just seeing, like, what was it? Four episodes you recommended.
Yes.
I watched those four episodes. And
it was one of the ones where Picard was assimilated, because
yes.
Riker takes over the Enterprise. And I think somewhere towards the end of it, they offer him his own command.
Well, that was pretty much the, like, one of the threads throughout the episode, because remember
right.
they had that other lieutenant come in, I think it was, that was
yes.
supposed to be, like, training under Riker so that,
right.
but
he
then everybody was like,
yeah.
we want to take Riker. Really what the reason was we're going to leave her and take him.
Right.
And he's going to have his own ship, but then he turns it down. Obviously, I don't know where his career goes from there. I didn't watch the rest, but just right. him turning it down and standing up to Picard in that episode and saying, you know, with all due respect, sir, it's my career.
Right.
You know,
right.
and then for me to jump fast forward to there they are on the bench and
right.
how much they do mean to each other. I thought that was really, really cool. But the other scene that I thought was, I wanted to get some clarification on, and I think it's kind of what you were saying with Riker, is like the relationship that he had with Raffi.
Uh-huh.
And at the end, when they said the most awkward I love yous I think I've ever seen on film.
Yeah.
And it's like, I thought it was great, but I wanted, like, are they not supposed to feel that way? Like, you know what I mean? Like, well, I didn't, I
he's
got
never,
it, but
he's never shown emotion or expressed emotion throughout the entire show. Like, he was always the standoffish professional soldier. Right. You know what I mean? So for him to, like, cause even throughout the Next Generation, like, he had affection for his crew necessarily, but you didn't consider him and Riker friends necessarily. Like, he was the captain, Riker was the first officer. There was respect between them, but you never really considered them to be buddies.
No, it was professional. Like,
right,
it was a professional.
Whereas if you go back to, like, the original series, with Kirk and some of the other ones, like, again, there was a command structure, but they were buddies. Like, you could see them kind of hanging out or drinking together or whatever.
Kirk and Spock were buddies through.
Right.
Felt like, well.
But that's why in
my limited knowledge,
in the Next Generation, the end of that series was so profound when he came to sit down to play cards with them at the end of the series.
Yeah.
Because
you had told me that before. That was, like, he never played cards with the crew.
Right. He was never there. And he says something to that effect that, you know, I didn't know I would be welcome or whatever, and they said you were always welcome, you know. So there was that. So I kind of forget where we were. Oh, well, like with the I love you. All that.
Yeah.
So he was just never that guy that you would just ever expect to say that to anybody, even if he felt it, you know.
Right.
So I think that's why it was important in this show that he has matured to that point where he would express his emotions, you know.
But I thought it was great how he did it. It's almost like he doesn't know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because she said it first.
Right.
And
kind of walks away or.
Yeah. Like, yeah. But it was one of those weird, like, you've seen that kind of scene before in movies where, like, two people that are trying, like, they're dating, they're trying to be in love, and the first person to say it, and then you have the awkward other person going, oh, I do.
Right.
Well, these are two people that they're friends. Right. They're not in love. And
no.
It's like in a normal situation, if a friend says, like, I love you, you just out of respect, I love you too.
Yeah.
But Picard was like, and Raffi goes, you don't have to say it. And he goes,
well, I think
I don't. And it was such a great interaction that it was, you know, I thought it was so well written and well acted that you really got that awkward thing.
Yeah,
that
well, and with them, it was
happen.
More, it's more a father-son, a father-daughter relationship than even friends. But I think I think he was genuinely surprised to hear her say it because they had a rocky split, right? Like, their relationship throughout the show was kind of contentious.
Like, didn't she shoot at him at the beginning?
Well, right. In the very beginning, she didn't want to see him at all. Like, she felt like he let her down and didn't have her back when it counted. And so I think he was surprised to hear her say that and then didn't know how to respond.
Right.
You know? And then.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
I thought it was,
yeah, it was
a
really
great
good. And it was almost a similar. You had the same kind of emotion when he was walking away from Data at the end.
Yeah.
You know, he turns back and. You know, he doesn't say I love you, but you know, you get that feeling. Like, there's, and even Patrick Stewart brought it up in the ready room.
Right.
Afterwards, like, the
he
emotion
had to keep
of
redoing
that,
his lines.
Yeah,
he was
of that
so
scene
emotional
because he just couldn't say it. And I, like I said, I don't know if that comes through to you if you hadn't watched, like, if you didn't watch all seven seasons of the show. So, like, I don't know. Obviously, again, I know you're not stupid, so you understand the weight of the scene.
Thank you.
Well, but
no, I know.
I know that you logically get what was happening, but I don't know if you, like, I felt it with him when it happened, and I don't know if you did because,
well,
you know,
all right,
of not having that history with the characters.
I'll tell you this. I felt more emotional during that scene, that whole fireplace scene with Data, than I did when he died.
Right.
Like, that fireplace scene with Data actually got me more because without the show, I can relate to, like, two best friends talking.
Right.
You know what I mean? I can relate to that. All I have to do is just
you know, put us in that situation or put something in that, you know, my own life in that situation, then I can get emotional about that. The part about him dying that didn't, I felt like that was such an anticlimactic death because, like you said, we know there's two more seasons.
Well, that's the whole thing. You knew it was never going to stick.
I kind of wish they didn't tell us the seasons were coming and it was like a one-off.
Exactly, because then you might have thought he died.
Right.
Because it would have been a good ending for him.
Right.
If it was just a one and done. And yeah. I wonder if they wrote it that way and then had to come back and improvise later.
No, like, no, because the maybe arc the original has him becoming a synth. I believe that.
But I think it could have been written to end there also.
Right.
Maybe they had like a choose your own adventure ending, you know. But
they picked a name out of a hat.
Because it was renewed for season two before the show even hit the airways.
Right.
So I guess they knew early on that he wasn't going to die, but.
Well, I like that they did it all in one season. I think it would have come off as cheesy if he had died in season one and then they come back with season two and then all of a sudden they bring him back as a synth and you'd be like, well, now.
Yeah, because I almost thought that was going to be the cliffhanger. I was surprised when it came back for another scene afterwards. Because, yeah, that's how you would expect the show to end and then go on summer break and then you come back.
But
and
I think they wanted it all to play out as one giant arc where, and that's, like I said, it's like he was a Borg. They showed you he'd been a Borg in his past. He's this, and he's sticking up for the synths. And now he actually becomes one. Right. So that's actually the story, which I think is great. I think that's a great story to tell. I don't think it comes off as hokey. Whereas if you had divided that up into two seasons, maybe it plays a little hokier.
Right.
And now they can go on and tell who knows what story. Now there is true mystery to season two.
Or it didn't have to. Like, again, this is another show where this could have been a great end to this character. Like,
true.
I am so glad that there's a season two and three because I liked it. But this season was enough. Like, if this is all that was going to be, it ended perfectly to just be what it is, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, I like the way they did it. I think it was, like I said, I think it was really well done. And, you know, like I said, I like where all the characters ended up. Even Seven and Rafi, I guess, are... an item now, which
which
was a little unexpected, just because it didn't play out at all through the whole season. Like I just didn't see that coming at all.
Yeah,
you know. So I was like, okay,
yeah.
But yeah. So who knows where they're going to be next season? But it leaves the door open for everybody to come back at least. So
right. Yeah, I love the crew. I love the ship. I love everything about it. I love the intimacy. It's a smaller crew.
Right.
Then, you know, but when are they saying season two should, well, who knows now what's going on?
Well, according to the Ready Room, now I don't know when that's filmed in relation to when the show was filmed, but Girardi said, oh, well, we're supposed to get the first two episodes in writing Friday or something like that. So they're just writing it out now. So I would imagine it's a year away at least.
Probably.
And now knowing that everything's going to be on hiatus till who knows when.
Right.
I mean, at least they can write still, but they're not going to be able to film anything or put any production together. So it's probably a year and a half from now, I would say. Although we just saw the Ready Room Friday. I don't know when that was filmed either because all we know, they got those scripts a year ago for season two, you know?
Right.
So who knows?
Yeah. Yeah. Who knows? I mean, this. With everything up in the air right now, we have
real
no
time
idea.
Doesn't equate to when they filmed it. So
exactly, I mean, look at this podcast.
Yeah, I was like, oh, great, they'll be getting the scripts by tomorrow. So
yeah, Will Wheaton.
Yeah,
did they drop some info on him in one of the Ready Rooms that he's going to be playing a commander or something?
Well,
did you know that, or do you have any information on that?
I know that he would love to be back on the show. I can't imagine he would turn it down. But I think
he's getting a different show.
Oh!
You didn't hear that?
In one of the Ready Rooms,
they said it was like the second, the third to last episode, something like that. Where
an episode
like,
in the Star Trek universe is what you're saying?
A different show, a whole like he's going to be on.
But
a
as his
show.
Character, as Wesley Crusher,
as Wesley Crusher is going to be a commander by now, or something like that, or
Well, the thing is, the way, like, he never appeared in any of the movies. Like, his character is gone from the show.
Okay.
Like, the way he left the last season of that show, he's off, like, I don't, not necessarily even want to spoil it, but I don't know how do I say it. He kind of went with, like, a, well, I'm just trying to figure out how to explain it. He went with, like, a time-traveling entity.
Oh, okay.
To be off. Like, so he never went back to Starfleet. He never became an officer. His character didn't appear in any of the movies after that. So, okay. Like, I just don't know how he comes back.
He could definitely come back, though. And
he could come back. He's not dead. But right. He wouldn't come back as an officer in Starfleet. So, I don't know. Like I said, his character's not dead. So, if you're not dead, they can bring you back. You know, there's a way to do it. It's just, I don't know how they would write him back in. As a character, because like I said, he didn't, like all the other ones just continued on the Enterprise, you know, even after the show ended, you know, they just kept doing what they were doing, but he was gone. Like he left to kind of become a space traveling time traveler. So,
yeah, let's wrap up with this last scene I wanted to talk about. I figured we'd wrap up with this.
Okay.
Because I got really excited about this scene. The one, speaking of Starfleet. When Starfleet finally shows up,
yes,
Riker's at the helm of the lead ship and sitting there with his uniform on. And like I said, I'm not a Star Trek guy. I have 4-episode history going back for Next Generation. And I was just like, wow, goosebumps. That was with all of those ships, like basically an armada of ships show up. And he's sitting there leaning in his chair sideways with all of the confidence in the world. Right. And he's just like, your move. What do you want to do? I was like, wow. I can't even imagine what you, and I was thinking this watching it. I'm like, I can't even imagine what John was thinking when
it was super, obviously it was super cool. And I got all the feels for seeing Riker, because again, that's not something we ever saw.
So like, he never got his own ship.
He never got his own ship throughout the show.
Okay.
Because the movies, you know, obviously in the movies, they want to keep them all on the same ship together. So he just always stayed as the first officer. But you find out in like episode 6 or whatever, when they meet back up, he talks about how he had his own command.
Right.
So you knew he got it.
Yeah, I got that.
But you never really, you never really saw it. So getting to see that was really cool. But the one thing I have to say about that, the one kind of quibble I have with the whole show is in that scene right there, right? It's him squaring off against Commander O, who defected from Starfleet, who had basically been a traitor to Starfleet. We know that she was responsible for the massacre on Mars, and she was responsible for the death of thousands and thousands of people. And they just let her go. Like, he just let her go on her way. It was like, that's a little, I was like, really? They're just going to let her go? Like, they're not even going to make her surrender herself to Starfleet? It's like, you can let everybody else go, but she's got crimes to pay for, you know? It's like, now maybe that happens in season 2, I don't know, but I was kind of like,
after her.
Yeah, I was kind of like,
Yeah.
She's like a war criminal, and, you know.
and you're face to face with her.
Yeah. it's like, okay, that part of it I was thought was a little weird. But yeah, the scene in general, with all the, I've never seen that many Starfleet ships together on screen ever. So
me
it was
either.
Like, I didn't even know they had that many ships, you know. So I was like, that's pretty cool. Yeah.
How about, and I said that would be the last one. How about the story in the ready room about pulling the Picard move?
Yeah, I was going to bring that up too, the Picard maneuver.
But it's actually this.
Yeah.
Straightening the jacket down. Yeah. Because they,
and how they told Will Wheaton that he couldn't do that because that was the Picard maneuver.
He goes, don't do that. That's the Picard. Only Picard can do that.
So I have to sit here with my crinkled uniform.
But that was great. That, and even in the episode, like, I have a maneuver?
Yeah.
I didn't even know.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Really good episode. We didn't even spoil that. Well, yeah, we did. He dies and comes back.
So yeah, we spoiled pretty much the whole show. Yeah.
It was such a fun ride. Looking forward to more, and I'm sure I'll do more Star Trek.
Yeah, well, I'm excited for the future of Star Trek now. I mean, obviously I've been a fan, so I've got history with it, but I like where Discovery's going, but I'm really excited for what they're doing on CBS All Access. Like, I'm really looking forward to the Christopher Pike series, if they do that. Again, there's rumors of a 7 of 9 spinoff coming out of this. I would love to see that. So, yeah, I'm really excited for what they're doing. And obviously, we got 2 more seasons of Picard coming up. So, but I kind of want to see
7 of 9 series. Raphael probably show up there.
Yeah, yeah. But that's what I like. I like the blending of the old and the new. You know, like, it's one thing to get a completely new, like, Discovery was a new series for season one, but then in season two, they managed to bring back Spock and the Enterprise. Like, they managed to marry the two together. So I like that. I want to see more of that going forward. You know, I'm all for, like, brand new shows that take place in different timelines, but, you know, I like the nostalgia too. So I'm really excited to see what they do with all of this stuff.
Yeah. I'm excited a whole to new see franchise. You.
Right. I'm excited for you to watch it, honestly, because then, you know, as you see different things that you liked, you're going to talk to me about it and I'll get to have those conversations. So,
yeah, exactly.
You know, I'm really looking forward to it.
Apparently, we got the tough one out of the way. Star Trek, The Motion Picture.
Yes. It's all uphill from there. The fifth movie wasn't so great either, but Star Trek 2 and 3 are pretty cool. So,
yeah. No, I've seen those.
Yeah, I know you have.
Looking forward to those.
Yeah. Yeah, we got the... We started at the bottom, worked our way up.
That was brutal.
Well, in the extremes, like, we've only ever talked about Star Trek twice on this show, and we went from the motion picture to Picard. So it's right. One end of the spectrum all the way to the other. Yeah.
Yeah. So much in the middle.
Yeah.
All right, is that good?
Yeah.
Any other little nuggets you want to... that we forgot to talk about?
Not that I can think of.
Yeah, if we forgot about them, we'll bring it up next week.
It'll come
in
up
true
again,
comic book store fashion.
Yep.
Because I don't know what we're going
to
talk
about. Yeah, we'll have like nothing to talk about next week Wednesday. Or the next couple of weeks for that matter. So
it really is comic book store talk. So that's what we're going with. What are you guys talking about? What do you want us to talk about? Let us know.
Yeah, we'll you have ideas.
Yeah, let us know. Send them our way. On Twitter at brightside_chat, or you can email us at thebrightsidechat@gmail.com. check out all the great podcasts at nerdylegion.com, and hey, everybody stay safe. We will be back on Thursday. I'll be back tomorrow with I don't know what yet, but I'll be back with an update on the weather.
Sounds good.
Alrighty. I'll relate it to comic books somehow.
Yep.
I'll bring up Storm.
Yeah.
All right. Have a great week, everybody. I will talk to you soon.
Take care, everyone.
Hey, Fred. Watch any new Star Wars movies since we talked.
Oh.
Oh, I'm just kidding. I'll take that out. That's funny.
Yeah, I'd say no.
No.
By the time it airs, I will have.
But. Right, right.
Thanks for listening to the Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com. One word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com. Comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listened to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors. This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.